together. Amen. There's some songs that this church really enjoys. This is one of them.
Amen.
Or at least the song leader does. Yeah, that's right.
You get it, have to go get it.
Thank you.
sing you a song after an introduction like that, everybody would be afraid I'm going to run down and I'll bite a chunk out of the leg or something like that. I haven't been in order to do that, but I won't do it tonight. But if I do, I've had all my shots, and I've been inoculated for everything you want to. If I spit on you, you won't get anything you haven't already been exposed to. But let me see if I can remember how a song or two goes here. I guess the older I get, the more my lights are going out. I make up more words to songs the more people hear they get. I like to think about it. Oh, that's awful. Sing old time religion and shake hands, all right? Y'all kind of need to get the stars blown off of me now, so I kind of shake hands, let's sing together. Here we go now. It's the old time religion, it's the old time religion, it's the old time religion, it's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying, it will do when I am dying, it will do when I am dying, and it's good enough for me. It's the old time religion, it's the old time religion, for me. I've got home in glory land outside the sun. I've got home in glory land outside the sun. I've got home in glory land outside the sun. Look away beyond the moon. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's good enough for me. As my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. The glory beyond the moon. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's good enough for me. There is power, power of underworking power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power of underworking power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Is the old time religion, is the old time religion, is the old time religion, it's really a for me. Never fade. I thought of this song today and I was going, I don't remember it now. We read a place that's called heaven. It's made for the good and the free. It's truth in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy.
Second verse, and have some of y'all. You get it. We'll get it.
In heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's love is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home.
If I had a cake, folks, I'm talking about. My mind doesn't work that good. Let's see. Some of y'all have been not doing too good either. I'm going to have a look. Let's see.
Say bye to the time when Jesus saved your soul.
Anything, Lord, that would be a hindrance to the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, tonight that you may do a work in our lives, and we'll be sure to go out of here tonight and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 17. Good to be back here tonight. I appreciate the invitation that was extended to me to be here, able to work out a Wednesday where I could come down. And let me say to you that I really appreciate what God's done for your pastor. The last time I seen him before this time, he was in the hospital in Los Angeles, and things didn't look too good, but God worked the thing out, and I blessed God. I just like he done it.
Yeah,
I blessed his name. And when we found out the good news, I danced around the telephone. I really did. All I could pull the thing out of the wall, and I rejoiced with it. Thank God. I just go to show the doctors didn't know everything. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
It looked to me like Dr. Jesus moved through about that time. Great physician, done made a house call, looked right. And boy, I rejoice in that. I praise God for him. Thank God for you. Now, you young people, I want y'all to give me attention. That's right. You old folks, every now act like you're alive. Would you at least run at me once in a while? And you kids, let me tell you something. I wasn't having all the kids set up front. I won't do that if y'all listen to me. If you get picking your nose and cutting a shine, you get up here in the front, and you can gross everybody out picking your nose.
All right.
2 Samuel chapter 17. I've watched them before, I know. Just as bad. I'm talking about scratching his brain, man. I'm 2 Samuel chapter 17. That green yo-yo. 2 Samuel 17. That's all this water I ever drank in my life. No, it's good. I'm just teasing. 2 Samuel chapter 17. The first verse said, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace." And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. And then said Absalom, "Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith." And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, "Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou." And Hushai said unto Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time." Look at verse 23 of the same chapter, please. "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house and to his city and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." Look, please, to look at Matthew, the 27th chapter, and look at the first several verses here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 27 and the first several verses. Now get this right here. This is important. Here comes a man named Judas, and who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But he saw what he had done, and in chapter 27, verse 1, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I am sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the piece of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself." Now, you have two sections of the Bible here that deal with one particular subject, and it's the subject that I want to deal with tonight. It deals with the subject of suicide. Somebody taking their own life at their own hand. And I want to kind of bring that down a little narrow, more narrow if I can tonight. I'm going to preach on teenage suicide. And I want you adults to help me. You get something out for us all the way through, I promise you. And I promise you, if you're a little squeamish and you get a little upset over plain talk, then we might ought to dismiss you right now and let you go home and watch whatever you watch on the idiot box that cusses every other breath. Maybe that would suit you a whole lot better. And you come to church and the man of God preaches plain, and oh my, he says some shocking things. Nothing more than what you hear on television. And all that garbage and that stuff like that. So if you're easily offended, you might ought to just unplug and check out right now. Now I'm going to tell you something. Plain preaching is easy understood. I found that a long time ago. In our generation, we have a phenomenon that is called adolescent suicide. And by what the government means by that is the age group from 11 to 24 years old. That's what they measure the suicide rate amongst young people with, 11 to 24 years old. And they say that it has more than gone up 300% since 1950. They estimate that there are about 5,000 teenagers who kill themselves every year. That averages out about 13 a day as if they're killing themselves. They figure that at least 500,000 others try and don't succeed for one reason or another. And it's just picking up speed all the time. It is the number two killer amongst young people. The number one killer amongst young people right now is car wrecks. And teenage suicide is creeping up. And they say in the 1990s it is probably going to tie automobile accidents for the cause of the most death among young people. And there are a lot of reasons why people kill themselves, particularly young people. Sometimes they kill you. You have a murder-suicide situation. That is some guy, for example, some guy's girlfriend will kill him, you know, and he'll go to school and he'll blow her away and put the gun to his own head and kill himself. That happens just nearly every day. It's a pretty common occurrence, and it's a murder-suicide. It's done in a rage. It's done in a fit of passion. If the people had sat down and think it through, they would not have done it, but just in a rage, they kill themselves. Sometimes young people kill themselves over frustration. They're frustrated over a certain situation. They have a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness that the certain situation is not going to get any better. And so they blow their brains out. And here's where I need your bells tonight. You kids listen to this preacher tonight. What seems hopeless and helpless and has no answer today, down the road you'll smile at and laugh at and say, well, hey, what was I so upset about that? Things do change, kids. Things do change. What looks like a totally helpless problem right now, 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, you won't even remember the thing. It may look as big as a mountain to you right now, but things change. God works things out. Taking your life is never the answer for any problem you have. Never. Sometimes kids take their lives and older people take their lives because of health problems. They feel like they've been told they have a terminal illness and they're not going to live. And so they say, man, I'm not in all this pain and suffering. Why should I be a vegetable all my life? And they blow their brains out. But that's a fallacy too. Because there are people right here tonight, your pastors, one and others, that the doctor said, hey, you ain't going to make it. You're not going to live. And there's some of you right now, you've been living a long time after the doctor told you that. Dr. Jesus fixed you up and you're alive and well tonight. And yes, the doctor doesn't know everything. And just because you got it done, diagnosis of a terminal illness does not mean that you're actually going to die. All right,
amen.
And the more I'm around doctors, the less confidence I have in them anyway. But anyway, sometimes kids kill themselves to escape punishment. They get arrested for something and they get in a jail cell and they'll find something to hang themselves, you know, rather than face punishment and rather than face the music for their crime. A lot of kids were finding out through the notes that's being left. Killed himself over despair, over the fact that this life holds nothing else for him, that this life holds no other thrill, that holds no other pleasure. Now here's why that is. Now you ain't gonna like this, but here's just exactly why it is. In our generation, we've got kids today that by the time they're 15 or 16, they've done just about everything they feel this world has to offer. They've had sex, they've drunk liquor, they took a little dope, they've raised a little hell, they got their own car, got their own gasoline credit card, and when they get to be 16 or 17, they say, man, what else is there to do? I have done it all, and our society's come along, and instead of trying to deal with the problem from a moral standpoint, they come along and hand kids a handful of condoms and said, all right, hey, don't get AIDS and don't get pregnant, but that's all restrictions we're going to put on you. And so after a kid has done all of that, he feels like there's nothing worth living for, that there's no other thrill and no other pleasure left in this world. And so he blows his brains out rather than spend 50 or 60 years of life in boredom in his life. Let me tell you something, buddy. That kind of philosophy stinks. It stinks, buddy.
Amen.
There is something to live for, kid. There really is something to live for. And I want you to look at this down here. We find out that Ahithophel got hooked up with Absalom. And Absalom was the original hippie. Absalom hated his daddy. As a matter of fact, what you read there tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 17 pointed out the fact that Absalom was trying to overthrow his daddy and take his kingdom and have him killed. And Ahithophel got in with his buddy. And they asked his advice. Now I want you to think about this just a minute. Here was Absalom. He was the big leader in the group, you know. And he had asked for Ahithophel's advice. Man, that was just like the leader of the gang. He asked him one of the gang members to come in and say, what do you think about this? But buddy, when his advice was rejected, he felt such shame and he was so mad, they went home and killed himself. Kids, that's why that your parents and your pastor and everybody else warned you about who you hang out with. Listen, when you hang out with a bum crowd, you're going to go the way of the bum crowd. And you hang out with the people that don't give a rip, you're going to find yourself not giving a rip. You better be careful who you hang around with.
That's right.
Amen. You say, I don't like you. Hey, you know the two fingers right there? You know what you got them for? Put them right up your nose and carry yourself out. We don't care. We don't care. I'm just telling you like it is.
Amen.
Now look at this. That before you kill yourself, there's all kinds of music out now. You know, for years you've had the heavy metal music. But now there's a new phenomenon out that is called trash metal or death metal or black metal. And what that is, it is music that encourages people to kill themselves.
Right.
This guy, Elton John. And by the way, that's a good place for Elton. It's in the John. I'm full of He's a queer. He says he's a queer. He don't know whether he's Esther or Lester. You jerk his britches down and wear him pantyhose. I promise you that. You don't, he don't know what's going on. He's a queer. And if you like his view, you must be a queer too. Now, yeah, I'm telling you about it. Huh? Have a nice day. Create a big smile face on your belly button. That's all I care. Well, Elton John comes out with this song. And part of the lyric says, think I'm by a 45. Give them all surprise. Think I'm going to kill myself. Cause a little suicide. Well, Elton John is a popular guy, or whatever he is, whatever the thing is. He's a sham. You don't really see her or him. He's a cross. I don't know what he is, but he's a popular fellow. And some young kid listens to that and says, well, Elton John said it's all right for me to kill myself. There's a group out now called Accepts, and they have an album out. They have an album out called Suicidal Tendencies. And on the front of that album cover is two young boys hanging upside down on a jungle gym set with their hands tied behind them. They have another album out called Russian Roulette. And on the cover of that, they have a picture of a young man with a pistol in his hand trying to get his buddy to take part in a game of Russian Roulette. Now, if you don't know what that is, they put one shell in the chamber, spin the chamber, and then put it to their head and pull the trigger, hoping they don't have the one that's got the live round in it. And so that is a subtle hint and to say, hey, it's all right to play that game. If you get killed, that's okay. There is an album out called Suicide's an Alternative, You'll Be Sorry. I want to read you some of the lyrics. I will spell the more coarse words. The lyrics of this song say, sick of people, no one real. Sick of chicks, they're all B-I-T-C-H-E-S. Sick of you, you're too hip. Sick of life, it's S-U-C-K-S. Sick and tired, no one cares. Sick of myself, don't want to live. Sick of living, gonna die. Well, you put that thing in your headset and carry around your Walkman and run that through your mind 25 or 30 times a day, you'll be as dingy as the bell of St. Mary's, and buddy, you'll be in a weakened condition where the devil could convince you ought to kill yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Suicidal failure is another one. The lyrics said, Father, forgive me, for I know now what I do. I tried everything, now I'll leave it up to you. I don't want to live, I don't know why. I don't have any reasons, I just want to die. There is an album out by a group called Metallica. They have an album out called Ride the Lightning. And part of the song on one of this says, life it seems will fade away, drifting further every day. Getting lost within myself, nothing matters, no one else. I've lost the will to live, simply nothing more to give. There is nothing more for me. Need the end to set me free. Now you're going to see why that's a lie of the devil right there. The end does not set you free.
That's right.
The end does not set you free. There was a young man out here in Indio, California, a couple years ago. The young man's name was John McCullough. And his parents found him dead in his room. He shot himself in the head. He had a stereo headset on. And the tape that he had on his stereo was the lyrics to Suicide Solution. And those lyrics said, breaking laws, knocking doors, there's no one at home. Make your bed, rest your head. But you lie there and moan, where to hide? Suicide is the only way out. Don't you know what it's really all about? There's a group called AC/DC, which is an Australian heavy metal group. And they have a song out called Shoot the Thrill. Another one called Highway to Hell. There was a young man named Steve Boker. And he liked the AC/DC group. His parents heard a gunshot go off one day in his bedroom. They ran in there and found that he placed the pistol between his eyes and blown his brains out. He had a huge poster of AC/DC on his bedroom wall. When that shot hit him, it threw him back against the wall, and his blood and his brains oozed down that poster, and he was sitting there dead at the foot of that poster. He had the headset on, listening to the Highway to Hell. There was a young man out in Texas that hung himself from the goalpost out there. He told his buddies, he said, I'm going to meet Satan today. And when they found him, he had AC/DC on his Walkman, had his headset on, and Highway to Hell was playing over and over again. Here he was hanging from the goalpost, a 15-year-old kid. And it goes on and on. These are not isolated incidents. They just seem to go on and on. I want you to think of me a little while now. No doubt there are probably some of you kids that know somebody that killed themselves, or at least know somebody who tried to kill themselves, and maybe some of you here that even thought about yourself. Now I'm going to tell you something. If we could rescue one young person tonight, if we could just get one young person to turn away from that idea, the whole evening's been good. I'll tell you that. We spent our time with it. I want you to look at about two or three things. I'm gonna be done. Right, listen to me. If you give your attention, kid, I'll be done this little bit, and I'll give you something to help you tonight. The first thing you need to consider before you kill yourself, and before you consider killing yourself, is the finality of your action. Kids, when you kill yourself, it's not like needles. You don't get over it. When you kill yourself, if you don't like it that way, you can't come back.
So you can't come back. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, just a minute.
David's baby dies. And notice the statement that David made concerning that baby. He said in verse 23, but now he is dead. He's talking about the baby who died. But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. I know what you look at this right here. David's baby died. And he come around, you know what David said? He said, I cannot bring that baby back, but I can go one day to where that baby is. Kids, let me tell you something. When you die, that's the end of it in this life. I don't care what Shirley MacLaine said. It doesn't make any difference what all these gurus talk about and say, well, you come back in another life. And they're telling you now that you used to live another life. You lived several thousand years ago, and you come back maybe as a butterfly or a billy goat. So I don't want the stupid junk said. But I'm afraid of it. That's a lie. Some dope fiend, some guy smoking peyote, man, all that stuff up. You don't find that in the Bible. Let me tell you something. When you die, kid, you can't come back in this life. Your body goes to the graveyard. Your soul goes to heaven or hell, depending on whether you were saved. And the worm's going to eat your body, and you ain't coming back in this life, brother. You ain't coming back. It's not like a cold. If you don't like it, you get over it, you can come back and you're all right. Kids, it's a final action. When you take your life, that's final.
That's a final action.
Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 20 just a minute. The Bible says the point when a man wants to die, but the rest of the verse says that after this is judgment.
Yes, sir.
Now wait just a minute. If the end sets you free, like the psalm said, like the rock musician said, if the end sets you free, what's the book of Revelation chapter 20 doing in there? If you're just dead and your dead life over and you're dead all over, I mean, if that's the end of it, then what is Revelation 20 doing in the Bible? Now what? There is a word that keeps popping up in Revelation 20. Get it right here. Look down at verse 12. He said, now watch the word. Watch it now. He said, and I saw thee dead, small and great, standing before God. Now wait just a minute. I thought if you die and that's the end of it and you'll come back. No, no. Hey, but say so. After this is a judgment, you got the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to the words. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to the words, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now watch it right here. Now you go to the graveyard, your soul goes to hell, but one day God's going to belch that soul back up out of hell, stuff it back in this old rotten body, and you'll stand naked before the white throne judgment of God, and eventually be cast in a burning lake of fire. That doesn't sound like too good a deal to me, right?
Amen.
What I'm trying to get you to see is the finality of your action. You don't get a second chance down here, kid. It's not a matter. If you don't like death, you can come back. That's not the way it works.
Yes, sir.
And you consider the finality of your action. When that heart quits in your bosom, it's over for you down here. It's over.
Amen.
Notice the second thing, please. You need to consider the family that you're going to leave behind.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Look at 2 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. David and Absalom did not have a good relationship, to say the least. Absalom hated his dad. They did not get along. But look down in 2 Samuel 18. Verse 31. Finally, Absalom is killed. Absalom gets his old hippie hair hung up in the forks of a tree. The mule walks out from under it, and they come by and kill Absalom while he's hanging in the tree. The word comes back to David that Absalom's dead. Now, what do you reckon David's response is to that? Did he dance and shout and say, thank God that heathen boy is dead? I'm glad he's dead. Well, let's see. Verse 31. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged this day of all of them that rose against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. In other words, they're all dead, King David, including that hippie boy of yours. Verse 33. And the king was much moved, and went to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went thus, he said, O my son Absalom, would God I died for thee? O Absalom, my son. He wasn't happy. He was sorrowful. He wept and cried and moaned. And chapter 19 said, he hollered and screamed, and the people didn't know what to do to comfort David. Kids, I want to tell you something. You may not have a very good relationship with your mother and daddy. You may not get along too good with them. They may not even be living together right now. I don't know where you
it come from? Let me tell you something, kid. If you take your life and go to that graveyard, I want you to think about your family. Think about your mother that brought you into this world, going to the cemetery, and with tears falling down her face, and weeping and crying, and putting flowers on your grave. That old daddy that worked so hard to put you through school and loved you, your sister and your brother, and the people that know you. Can you bear to put them through that agony? You better think about it.
Amen.
You better think about it. See, there's more folks involved than just you, kids. Better think about your family going to be behind.
Yes, sir.
And it's not going to be something that they're going to get over a day or two up in the area where I come from. But there's a fellow that had a 20-year-old son that hung himself about 15 years ago in a doped-up stupor. He hung himself out in the barn. Since then, the barn has burned out. It's not even there. But that old man, about every week, will walk out of those woods where that barn used to stand and weep and cry and scream over his paw. And would to God he was back. It's been 15 years and it's not over yet.
Yeah.
You better think about your family that's going to leave behind. Notice the third thing. Before you kid yourself, you better consider the friends that you may influence. There is a phenomenon associated with teen suicide. It is called cluster suicide. By that they mean that when one kid kills himself or tries to kill himself, four or five others will try just like that, just in quick succession. In Omaha, Nebraska, a couple of years ago, the Bryan High School out there had three suicides in a period of 5 days. Now listen to what I'm telling you. They had three suicides in a five-day period. In the previous week, four other students had tried to commit suicide there on the ground. Time Magazine went out and interviewed the principal. Time Magazine is not noted for its conservative stance.
That's right.
Time Magazine is not noted for being for God. They're liberal and they're rank and they're anti-God. But they went out there and interviewed this high school principal. I don't know whether you're a saved man or not. But they said, what in God's name is going on? Now, he got all these kids killed themselves. One after another. You know what the principal told him? Let me read to you what the principal told him. I'm not making this up. You can see it after church. The principal said, we have a life is cheap philosophy fed to the young people. And he said, pro-suicide lyrics and rock songs are a particular example.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. You parents listen to me. You had it all up together. You tell a kid that he crawled up out of a swamp somewhere and was formed out of an amoeba, that he does not have a creator, and that he is just so much protoplasm and just a glob of flesh that his mother couldn't have aborted and she wouldn't have committed murder, because it's like cutting a wart off your hand if that's what you want to do. And you hand him some birth control devices and said there's no moral standard so long as you don't hurt yourself and get AIDS and that kind of stuff. There are no moral limitations. You tell a kid that. You tell him that there's no God. You tell him that there's evolution. You tell him that he doesn't have any purpose in this life. No wonder they're killing themselves.
Right. Amen.
Right. I'm going to tell you something tonight. People don't like that. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. The older I get, the less I care whether they like it.
Amen.
I done got plumb snaky in my old age. I can't die. I just don't care. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you that cripples up every mule in Texas. I'm going to tell you.
Amen.
God said over here, he said, you better consider your friend. Look at Romans chapter 14 just a minute. I get so tired hearing young people say this. Some of you young people, and not just you particularly, I'm talking about your age group. They say, well, Brother Dave Jones, if whatever I do doesn't hurt me, doesn't hurt anybody else, I'm the only one that's hurting. Well, the only problem with that is not so.
Yeah.
In Romans 14 and verse 7, he said, for none of us, now get it, for none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. What you and I do does affect somebody else, kid. What we do is going to affect somebody else. And what I say, if you kill yourself, you may cause one of your buddies, your friends, to kill themselves. You may set off a chain of events that several people will kill themselves. You better consider the friends you're going to influence. You're not the only one involved. Now I'm going to say this. Before you kill yourself, you need to consider the fact, you need to consider the field of endeavor that you will never explore. You will never know what your potential was in this life. You will never have a career. You will never raise a family. You will never know the joy of having your little son or daughter's arms around your neck and saying, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. You will never know what you could have accomplished in this life. The only thing you'll be remembered for is a fellow or a girl who took their own life. That's all. I don't care if you're a pretty cheerleader. I don't care if you're an A student. I don't care if you're a big basketball star. The only thing they'll remember you for when they trace past your grave is that's the kid that killed himself. What a sorry legend to leave behind. What a sorry testimony. Mm-hmm. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Please get this. Please get it. I'm trying to hit. God said down in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after all likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That kind of knocks evolution all to pieces, doesn't it? Verse 27. So God created man in his image. Now I'm going to ask you a question. God made the fowl, God made the fish, God made the creeping thing. He made all these creatures that sit on the earth. But when it came to man, he did not make them in the image of the creatures. He made them in the image of himself. Why is that? Because man is more special than all the animals. And God didn't make him in the image of a fowl or a fish. God said he was so special, he's going to make him in his own image.
Amen.
And kids and adults and ladies and gentlemen, you and I are special to God. And it's signified by the fact that we're made in the image of God.
Yes,
I saw a little Down syndrome boy the other day. They're such sweet kids. They're such precious little youngins. He looked like about 12 or 13, just real roly-poly himself. He had that moon face, you know, like little kids do. And his mom was leading him along down the street. You know, he's waddling along, just smiling. Those little kids just love him to death. And he had a t-shirt on. And the t-shirt said, God didn't make any junk. That's what he did. I like that. God doesn't make any junk. I like it. And kids, you are worth something. You may feel like the most worthless dud in the world. You may feel like nobody cares about you. You may feel like that you're not worth anything in this life. But I got news for you. The very fact you're living and breathing proves you're worth something to God.
Amen.
Look at Romans 5. As a matter of fact, you're so important that Jesus Christ went to Calvary to die for you. Romans the 5th chapter. And watch the verses very closely now. He says down here in verse 6 of Romans 5. Watch it very closely. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Do you see how important you are, young people and moms and dads? You're so important that Jesus Christ came down out of glory, was born of a virgin here in this world, and lived the perfect life that you and I could not live. Went to Calvary, let him strip him naked, gamble for his clothes at the foot of Calvary, beat him with a cat of nine tails, rip his beard out, and spit in his face, and take big nails and drive him in his hands and his feet, and curse him and mock him. But he stayed on the cross. Why did he do it? He didn't have to do it. He was God Almighty. He could have done what he wanted to. But he looked down and said, those folks need a Savior. And I love them. And I'm going to stay on the cross for them.
Amen.
That's how much you care. That's how much he cares about you. You say, preacher, nobody in this world loves me. Everybody wants to use me. Well, I might be so. But I'm telling you, over on the glory side, somebody loves you tonight.
Amen.
Jesus loves you.
That's right.
And he proved it by going to Calvary. As a matter of fact, young people, you're so important that if you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, guess what he'll do? He'll come and live inside you.
Yes,
and you're so important that he said that one of these days he's going to prepare a place for you, a beautiful mansion on the glory side, and you're so important that he said, I'm coming back to get you one of these days.
Yes, amen.
That sounds pretty important to me.
Yes, sir.
Before you kill yourself, consider the field of endeavors you'll never explore. Let me say something to you adults tonight, you parents. You knew I was going to get you, didn't I?
Amen.
Moms and dads say, well, I'm scared about this thing. And I'm afraid that my teenager's going to commit suicide. And I'm afraid of it. Well, I guess in one way you ought to be afraid of it. But I'm going to tell you what I see across the country. I see parents that are too stinking busy making the dollar bills to give their kids the time of day. All that matters is that buck and what it'll buy. All that matters is you make your big-time house payment and drive you a big-time new car. And only thing that matters is you put your 8 hours in to get your retirement. And a lot of your kids are going to hell. A lot of your kids don't have anybody to talk to except somebody out on the street. I'm going to tell you something. That's a sorry way to treat God's heritage, Mom and Dad.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God put those children in your home and made my heritage. God said that the fruit of the womb is his reward. The little kids can't even get their parents' attention anymore because the average Christian home is like a madhouse. Dad's on first shift, the mom's on second shift, and everybody's running and screaming at each other. And no wonder kids don't know which way to turn.
That's right, brother.
Right.
Someplace every night. Unplug the tube for a while.
Yes, sir.
Cut the line to your satellite dish. Oh, that'd be worth withdrawing some dope, wouldn't it? You talk about insult to your intelligence. I insult, you know, when we had television years ago, Mr. Wimple was squeezing toilet paper in the supermarket, man. Now, you are talking big time stupidity. Are you listening to me? If that's all that sucker's gonna do, run and squeeze the toilet paper, man, you know the guy's on drugs, somebody like that. Does some serious pharmaceuticals. We talk to your parents this week. You kids listen now. It's time you say, all right. Parents, keep your kids in good church. I don't care how far you gotta drive. I don't care where you gotta go. People say, oh, that church is too far. Well, man, you drive to Disneyland. You drive all not very far. You drive down the coast and on the ocean and everything else. You drive to see Grandma and Uncle Fudd and Aunt Susie and all the rest of that stuff. Let me tell you something. A kid knows a weenie when they see one. And for God's sake, don't sit a kid under a weenie, man.
Yeah, amen.
Walk out like just starts in his shorts. We have no kids hanging far out there.
Amen.
I'd rather hear Aunt Jemima sing Biling Cabbage then. I really give it a good church. Keep under the fire. Keep on this old-fashioned preaching and singing. Keep in a church where the power of God falls and where people can rejoice and shout and weep. They feel loved.
Amen.
This old dead bunch of mess, you know, people come walking in church, act like the last dead louse fell off of them, and they sit there and look like a bunch of Frankenstein dummies and say, well, God delivered me, man. I'd rather sit around and watch paint dry, ain't it? Keep me in a good church. And get there yourself.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah. But you get up on Sunday morning and send your kids, your old backslid heathen, get up and say,
amen.
Spend time with them. I realize we live in a business society. I know that sometimes it's necessary for both husband and wife to work. I understand that. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you got to do, for God's sake, Mom and Dad, spend time with them. Take, I'm talking about quality time. I'm talking about whatever you got to do. You're not going to have them that long. They're going to be grown up and gone.
Yes, sir.
If they don't kill themselves first.
Yeah.
Spend time with them. Listen to their plans and dreams. Kids have plans and dreams. They may sound completely silly to you and I. I was in a church meeting here some time back. The little girl sitting in the front row. It's hard to judge the age of kids anymore, you know, because little girls are not little girls anymore. You know, the mother blows them over the head. They got a parent, grandparent, over the other level. And they put them long eyelashes. Where do you girls, where do y'all get these long eyelashes? Look like ant fingers, man. And they got them on, and mama's got them jacked up on high heels shoes. And they can't even walk on there, but they're walking like this all night. So I'm going to guess this little girl's about 13 or 14. She had a big pair of earrings. I'm talking about you get two hernias in your ear. And she's chewing about a pack of chewing gum one time. She's real spastic, you know. And so after service, you know, she comes up to me. And she said, Brother Jones, I want to talk to you. Well, you didn't have time to talk. I said, get over. So I sat down in the front row with her, and she gets talking. And she said, do you know what I want to be when I grow up? And I said, no, honey, what do you want to be? She said, I want to be a brain surgeon. Well, I thought to myself, I could have said, you got to have a grade, would you? I didn't say it. I said, you do. She said, oh, yes, Brother Joe. She said, my daddy and mom are separated. And she said, I told my dad the other day that I wanted to be a brain surgeon. And he didn't even listen. He was like, thinking about his golf game. And I told my mama, and she just laughed. She said, well, you can't even get a C in math at school. How are you going to be a brain surgeon? But she said, Brother Joe, I really do want to be a brain surgeon. I reached over and got one of her hands. I said, you know what? If I ever saw the hands of brain surgeon, I believe you got it. Oh, do you really think I'm going to talk to you? Boy, she's just spazzed out, man. I mean, she come unwind. She said, do you mind? I said, look, you stay with God and live for Jesus Christ and do the very best you can in school. No doubt why, I believe you can make a good brain surgeon. She took out that board back door and whoa, I can be a brain surgeon. She probably went out and practice on somebody. I hope it's a cat. They got plans and dreams. Listen to them. If you don't, somebody will.
That's right.
And they're the wrong kind of folks every time.
That's right.
Show love in your home. Outside the four walls of this building and outside the four walls of your home, every kind of hell and depravity and garbage in the world goes on. Yeah. Your kids are exposed, and my kids are exposed every day to gang rapes, and the thought of it, and the news stories of it. They've been exposed to it. Y'all had a guy up here, somebody's up at Goshen, California, a couple months ago, went into a schoolyard and wasted a bunch of kids with some kind of automatic weapon. Then those kids hear that every day. They hear about the bomb threat. They hear about the fact that we may be blown up by Gorbachev. They hear all the stuff about AIDS. They hear about all this garbage. Then they listen to you fuss and fight at home and threaten the divorce. It's no wonder they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Show love in your home.
Your home and mine ought to be a haven from that mess, huh?
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
You ought to come home and see somebody that actually loves each other and not ashamed to show.
Amen.
Hey, in case you haven't found out, if you don't show your children love, they're going to hunt it outside the home and they're going to get the wrong kind every time.
Yes, sir.
That's why little girls wind up pregnant and that kind of stuff. That's why little boys hook up with gang because somebody will accept them because they're rejected down the house.
Yeah.
Show love in your home. Show affection in your home. Had a man tell me the other day, you know, men are such pukes sometimes. He saw Brother Jones, he said, I'm just not a very loving and emotional person. I said, well, get that way.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, he said, we didn't show love in our home, my mom and dad. I said, well, you're a grown man. You can change. Show love. You can change. But being such a dunce.
Amen.
Huh?
Come on.
Learn to show love. You say, well, that ain't me. Well, maybe it's you.
Yeah.
Quit being such a dingbat now. A weenie. I just have this problem. Yeah, you do. You don't listen. That's your problem.
Yeah.
So I'm not a very emotional person. Oh, quit, man. Come on. Huh? You get emotional over your golf game. You get emotional over catching a big fish out here somewhere. You get emotional over everything except your youngin' and your wife. And shame on you for that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Shame on you for that. Show love in your home. Some of you women need to take a little advice, too. You get all doing all this wonderful work and all this other stuff, and you ain't got time just to stop and show some affection and love to your kid and your husband and your home. But tell you something. You put those kids to bed at night after you've loved on and hugged on them, and they see you loving and hugging on your husband, they got a little smile on their face.
That's right.
If you put them to bed fussing and fighting and threatening divorce and raising hell and calling names, they can't sleep, and they go to school all worked up by the day. That's a sign way to send a kid off.
That's sir.
Because when he comes home, he didn't know whether he's going to have mom and dad or not. You're welcome. Have a nice day.
Amen, brother.
Be careful who they have friends. Watch who their friends are. Take time to find out who they're running around with.
Yeah.
And set you some rules there. Kids expect that. Oh, they may grunt and gripe and carry on and keep out. They expect mom and dad to set the boundaries of where they can go with it. And they feel loved because of it. You had them set a car keys or gas in credit card and said, here, well, just come in when you want to. And you don't have to tell them where you go. They never mind. They may like that freedom for a while, but they wonder if you really care about them.
That's right.
What's going to happen to them? Here's one I'm going to get in trouble on. They'll be okay. Still true.
Amen.
Commend them when they do right. And quit pushing so stinking hard in school.
Yeah, amen.
Now, listen to me tonight. I'm not condoning lazy. Some of you kids are lazy. If they put a piece of bread in your mouth, they have to run your jaws up down here. You are lazy. And you blame the teacher, you blame everybody else, and the problem is you're lazy. And you say, well, I just can't learn. No, you're just lazy. That's your trouble. I'm not condoning lazy. But I'll tell you what I see. I see parents shoving that kid. He does the very best he can, and all kids don't have the same learning ability.
Yeah.
Not all kids are raised to. But they'll shove that kid and push that kid, and he brings home a C or a B minus or something, and they blow up and say, well, you understand, Timmy got a nail on that same. Did you see his name on the honor roll? What's the matter with you, dummy? Can't you do any better? No wonder kids blow their brains out.
Yeah.
Some of you parents here tonight, your kids have never pleased you. You have found fault with everything they've done. They have never pleased you. They've never done anything to please you, and most of those kids want to please you.
Yeah.
Some of you parents can't be pleased. You know why? Because you got a big load of pride down your soul, and you looking down the road and say, well, I want to show my kids off for so-and-so say, they think their kids are so smart. That ain't the reason we have kids, honey.
Yeah.
Hey, and commend them when they do right.
Amen. Amen.
I have a daughter at home. You taping this?
I hope so.
Okay, don't give my daughter a safe. She'll hate me to use the illustration. I have a 7-year-old daughter at home. And she's like her dad. She really has a hard time at school. And she does, she does real good as best she can. She's like me. I got C's in school. Oh, the only way I ever passed out of school when I was in school, the only way I dated the smartest girl in the class. And I got through there and I dropped all the hot potatoes. No, I'm just kidding. But she got me through, buddy. But Heather, she's just like me. Everything comes hard for her. Nothing in school comes easy. Well, I noticed one week I was home. And, if you got teenagers in the house, teenagers should have been born with a telephone growing out of here. There isn't. Teenage girls are the only human being in the world that can talk on the telephone, chew chewing gum, pick their nose, paint their toenails, do the homework, watch the VCR, and do the arm all at the same time. It's the most magnificent coordinated thing I've ever seen. Well, I noticed that week and Heather wasn't talking on the phone. I noticed her friend Becky called and said, hello, Heather there. And she said, tell her I can't talk, Mom, I'm busy studying. I said, oh, Mom, we have got a serious problem here.
She can talk. I know she's in her room all every night just studying, hitting the books. It's a big test on her.
Well, the big test came, she got her grade back. She came home that afternoon crying. She threw her books in the corner. I said, "What's the matter, Mom?" She said, "You're going to kill me." I said, "Not today. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Maybe tomorrow. Blue messing, you know. I don't have time to clean up. You know." I said, "What are we going to kill you now?" She threw that paper up and she got a D on the test, big test. Got it for a lot of her grade. And she came over and she went to her room. You know how girls do to get to the room and get the score. Well, I'm going to play. She said, "Well, I guess you're going to kill. I guess I'm grounded." And she'd get her car keys and she said, "Well, there's the keys. I guess I'm grounded for 6 months. I don't get it." I said, No. Look, settle. You're settled. I just saw that. And she got to crying. She said, "Daddy, I did the best I could." She said, "She said, it was a hard test. Says a lot of kids in class failed that test. And he thought about giving it over because not hardly anybody passed it." She said, "Daddy, I studied. I really did. I knew she did." She said, I didn't. She said, "I didn't run around. I didn't talk on the phone. I was in there studying." But she said, "Daddy, I did the best I could." She said, "What are you going to do today?" I said, "Well, I don't know. It looks to me like this really requires some special plastic." She said, "Oh, no, you're going to ground it for a year." I took her out and bought her a milkshake. And I bought me one for being such a nice guy. You know why? Because she did the very best she did.
That's right.
I knew that. And I could have said, "Hey, stupid, what's the matter? Can't you get a C and pass the dumb test?" But that would have been wrong. She did the best she could. They did give another test over again, and she got a B+ on that. Let me tell you something. I believe that you can push kids so far, and they say, "Well, I can't please anybody. What's the use even trying?"
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of them just blow the brain. Can I tell you about this? Kids got sit over there and looking for somebody to brag on and to love them.
That's right.
And to encourage them. I was in a meeting, I was 6 months ago, 8 months ago now, preaching. I got done and I noticed a little girl sitting out over here. She's just real skinny. This is a high school group, about 250 high school students. But there's one little girl sitting over here. She just kind of caught my eye. She's a little skinny kid, hair was stringy. Her clothes were very, very plain. You know, the other girls were dressed in the latest fashions, and, you know, and all the newer things. This little girl, you could just tell that she just wore hand-me-downs. She just kind of caught mine. After service, she kind of hung around. She came up to me and she had her head down. She wouldn't look at me. She said, "Mr. Jones, can I talk to you just a minute?" I said, "Sure, honey." We sat down on a bench. She started crying. And she said, "Mr. Jones, 2 nights ago I tried to kill myself." And I said, "Why, honey? Why? She cried while I couldn't get her composure. I gave her a handkerchief and kind of tried to console her. And she said, "Last week, my mom and dad have been married 15 years. And she said, last week, they announced they were getting a divorce. And my daddy moved out of the house. And she said, "Preacher, I can't handle it." She said, "My mom and daddy, that's all I've ever known." She said, "That we live in a poor area of the town." She said, "We don't have a lot of money." And she said, "My mom and dad break up. I don't have anything else." She said, "I don't wear the new clothes like the girls do because we can't afford to buy it." She said, "We live in a ransacked house." She said, "The other kids make fun of me. And all I've had is my mom and dad. If I don't have them, I don't want them." She said, 2 nights ago, she said, "I had the pistol loaded." And she said, "My boyfriend come by and stopped me." She said, "I had it in my head. I had the safety off." She said, "All I do is pull that hammer back. I was ready to go." And I talked to her and I prayed with her. And after we had done, she said, "I see now." She said, "That's the wrong course of action." I'm going to tell you something, moms and dads. For God's sake, stay together. Your kids don't understand. They don't understand when you got to go to that divorce court and choose between two people they love deeply as well. They don't understand divorce. They don't understand. I'm sorry. You say, "Well, I'm saying we're incompatible." Well, let's not get compatible.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Do what you got to do. I don't remember all this old song. It's probably so old you kids won't remember. Probably never heard it, because I'm so old. But I like the song. The song said, "Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious sacred scenes unfold, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight.
just play for us a moment? Let me talk to you. Would you bow your heads just a minute? Would y'all bow your heads? Would you kids especially pray tonight for the preacher? I'm going to give an unusual invitation tonight. Probably maybe one of the most unusual invitations we've had here. But I really feel like this is what God wants to do. Are you listening? Sister, play softly this old hymn, whatever she's chosen. I appreciate you young people being so attentive. It's not often you go to preach to a place where young people pay attention. But I saw absolute attention tonight, young people. I appreciate it. I really do. I want to know the Lord. I appreciate it. Would you do something like for me and for the Lord and for yourself? The last thing I want to do is put anybody on the spot. But I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask every young person in here, anybody like from 21 down to 29, you know what that's doing. We're talking about young people. Not saying, hey, I've tried to kill myself, my father. I'm not intending to put that on. What I want to do is pray with you and have us tonight say, I choose life. I choose to live. I choose to make my life count. I want to pray for the young person who's doing that. Just come around me. Just come around me. Maybe some of y'all need that.
I won't embarrass you. I promise I won't. I'm going to pray with you, then you're welcome to go back to your seats. Would you just, I'm going to wait. Come on, others, come on. Others, come on. Just, if you're on knee, if you're on staff, whatever you want to do, all right, we just want to pray here together. I'm going to wait. Come on, others, just come on. Thank you, kids. God bless you. I appreciate that. Others, just, I'm going to wait just a minute. Just come on. Others want to come on. We're going to pray, you go back to your seat. Just a minute, I'm going to wait. Just about another 10 seconds. Come on, others. Others. All right, parents and adults, as you look this way just a minute, if your child is here or somebody that you're relative to or one of your friends, would you come and stand with them so they know that somebody cares, some adult cares? Would you just come and stand? If we got to get three or four or one kid, that's okay. We don't care how many is on one, just so everybody's got somebody. Come on, if your child's here, your friend is here, come on, stand with them. We're going to pray. I promise I won't embarrass you. God knows the last thing I want to do is embarrass anybody. Come on, I'm on the way. Others want to get on. Come on. Some adult, if you see a kid up here that doesn't have somebody to pray with, a young person, you just kind of get in behind them and let's pray together. I'm going to wait. Come on. Some of you other adults need to get in on that. Let's not be backward about this. We come to help tonight. We come to help somebody. And you know, if four or five gets around one young person, that's okay. Man, if when I was a young person, if four or five adults got around me and put their arm on me and said, Dave, I care about you, man, I'd have jumped out of my skin. I wouldn't know what was going on. I'm going to wait. Come on. Others need to come on. You want to get with one of these young people? Come on. They need somebody to let them know they appreciate it. I'm going to wait. Come on. Others are still coming. Just come on. Hey, it might be that some of you adults out there maybe considered suicide way back there and God delivered you from it. Y'all come and give God the thanks for it tonight. Say, God, I'm grateful I didn't go through it. I'm grateful you stopped me. I'm thankful that I chose life. I'm going to wait just about another 10 seconds. We're going to pray. Amen. We're just waiting. We're not in a hurry. We want God to do what he wants to tonight. Now, could I say this before we pray? If you're here in the auditorium or here in the front, and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, only you and the Lord know that. I don't know that. But right now when I pray, would you in your heart say, Lord Jesus, I'm just a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. I believe you died for me, and I want you to come into my heart and save me and cleanse me and forgive me. God, I want you to be my Savior. You know what the Bible said? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus will save you tonight and give you something worth living for. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, our Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for these precious young people that are here before us tonight. Lord, it took a lot of courage and a lot of grace for them to come forward. Lord, some of them started out just the very minute I announced it. I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that they've come tonight. And Lord, by their coming, they're saying, Lord, I want my life to count. Dying is not on my list of priorities. I'm not going to take my own life. But God, I want to live, and I want my life to count and be meaningful. Lord, I know they have problems. I know, Lord, they have discouragements. I know, Lord, they're fighting some battles that probably we don't know anything about. God, please give them grace. Lord, may we never hear of any young person in this building ever committing suicide. God, may it never come to our ears that any young person that's heard this message tonight would ever take their own life. And God, please bless the parents. It's not easy raising kids in this generation. Lord, we need wisdom. We make mistakes. God, forgive us as parents where we've let the almighty dollar motivate us to the place, Lord, where we've forgotten our children. And God, I pray tonight before folks go back to the bench, they'd find some young person, hug them and say, I love you and I'm for you and I want to encourage you to live for God. God, help them to do that tonight. Help them not to be ashamed. We came here to get help tonight. And Lord, a hug wouldn't cost anybody anything. A word of encouragement costs nothing. And Lord, I pray tonight for those who may be lost here without Jesus. God, please, right now in their heart, I pray, Father, they'd call on Christ. You said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless us each one. Bless every young person. Bless every adult around this altar. Thank you for the good response. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Help yourself. You want to hug somebody? Tell them you love my Father. Amen. Help yourself. It's all right. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't ever be ashamed. Just play a while, sister. We may have a little more business to get done. Yeah. Because Jesus cares. That's what she's playing. Yeah, he does. You got somebody you want to kind of get with and tell them you love them? Let's just do that. I mean, you know, we ain't no hurry. You're in the house of God. That's all right. Just do what God said. Amen. It's all right. Help yourself. We're not on no program. Get across the aisle to somebody. It's all right. Somebody came with you. So around telling you love them. That's all right. Hey, I promise you this world doesn't love you. I guarantee you that. They hate you. They love each other. Amen. Just help yourself. Yes. That's a good song to play. Does Jesus care? The answer to that is he does. Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Help yourself. Help yourself.
Hey, if I got so dry and starchy that I couldn't go hug somebody the next time I love them, I'd get the arm myself.
Amen.
If I'm that dry, I just pray for you. You want to come get saved? Pastor's here, other here. Come with somebody. If you want to come in here with somebody, they'll walk down the aisle with you. Just come on, they'll be glad to. Hey, I got to say, one more of an old walk down the aisle with me. Well, thank God. They'll come with you, Pastor, because Jesus can. Amen. Yes, sir. Help yourself. Help yourself, that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't ever be ashamed of your tears. Don't ever be ashamed of them. I'd get to worrying if I didn't have any, I promise you. Don't ever be ashamed of them. Let's sing that, Cindy, we have What a Friend in Heaven. Was that in that, do you happen to know what the number? We ought to sing a verse or two of that just before Pastor comes. I like it old song. Some of y'all are just about to die of self-restraint, you really are. You just on the verge of dropping dead of self-restraint. And God's really wanting to do something here tonight.
Yes, sir.
God wants to save some people. And God wants to get some people right and get some families closer together. 384 in this old hymn book. Let's sing a verse or two of this old hymn. Let's sing it out big and loud. You still need to get with somebody? You want to come get saved tonight? You want to come pray? You want to go across the aisle and tell somebody to love them? That's all right. Let's come on. Let's sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear.
For prayer tonight. As we bow tonight, boy, it's been good, isn't it? It's good to come to church on Wednesday night. You just never know what God's going to do.
Amen.
Boy, it's good to see teenagers cry. It's
yeah.
good to see folks get together. It's good to see some of these folks come up don't have children.
Yes, sir.
And just hug on ours.
Amen.
Man, pray for them. God, they need your help. Need your help. Let's bow for prayer. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, and I'm not going to give another invitation, nor am I going to preach. But you're here tonight, and God spoke to your heart. And tonight, you really don't know what to do, because maybe it's the first time that God has spoken to your heart. And what God spoke to you tonight was that you're lost and you need to be saved. Maybe you've got religion, but religion can only inform you and conform you. But only Jesus Christ can transform you. And I'm not trying to get you tonight to join this church or anything like that. I'm trying to get you tonight to see what God spoke to you about your sin. And there is no amount of good works that can take it away. No amount of religion can take it away. But tonight, Jesus Christ can take it all away. He's done everything he can tonight. Somehow or another, he's worked it out so you could be here tonight to hear this. And you're here tonight, God spoke to your heart. Would you just do this between you and I and God? So that you and I can communicate with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Would you say, preacher, as you pray tonight, would you pray and ask God to continue to work with me because something has gone on in my heart and I don't fully understand it. And preacher, tonight I want you to pray for me. You don't know me and I don't know you. But I know this, God wants to do something in your heart. And as we bow for prayer, would you just be so bold? I mean, nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to do anything like that. But you, if you'll let me know tonight, that preacher, would you pray for me? God's doing something in my heart. I don't understand it, but I want to know what he wants me to do. Anybody like that tonight, just slip your hand up, slip it right back down. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. All right. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this good message. Thank you for this good man. Thank you, Father, for these people tonight that were willing to come out. And Father, it was unannounced. Father, it was intended to be that way. And Lord, we want you to do things without planning, God, just to be spontaneous. Father, thank you that when salvation hits us, it is spontaneous.
Yeah.
Father, the day that I got saved, I never thought about it until I heard the gospel that you died for me and that I could not work my way to heaven. Lord, what a thrill that was when I found out that, Lord, you would save me just as I was. Father, I pray for that soul here tonight that's nearest hell, that soul tonight that has been spoken to, but, Lord, they're just a little afraid, a little awkward tonight for them. I pray, God, that you would continue to work with them, be with them, and show them the great gift of salvation. Thank you for these teenagers tonight and these young folks. May you bless now as we dismiss and go to our time, our destination, Lord, for our time of singles fellowship, that, Lord, you would allow us to have a good spirit there, Father, and a great spirit as we plan for the future days of what we're going to do. Father, thank you again for your grace. Thank you for your man. Thank you for the word of God and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Dismissed.
Good testimony. I'm glad you told me.